I'm Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Wiza. This is the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. Well, as you've certainly heard by now, a gunman walked into a movie theater in Colorado early this morning during a showing of the new Batman movie. He was heavily armed and opened fire on the crowd, killing at least a dozen and wounding 59. While the nation is now in shock, it is not the first time Colorado has experienced a mass shooting. Jeff Cass was on the scene in 1999 as a journalist at Columbine. He's the author of the book Columbine, A True Crime Story. Find him online at jeffcassauthor.com. He now lives in Denver. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
Yeah, thank you too.
So what we know at this point, it's 24-year-old James Holmes is the suspect. He was studying neuroscience in the PhD program at the University of Colorado, Denver, until the last month, apparently. What is the initial local reaction to the details that are now coming out about this suspect?
Yeah, I think it's horror. I mean, I think everybody is just deeply saddened. And, you know, I think there may be a bit of sentiment of how can this happen here again after Columbine?
I mean, is this just remarkably coincidental that the cinema where the shooting took place in Aurora, Colorado, is just 25 miles away from Columbine? Is it just a strange coincidence in your mind?
Well, it's actually not. In my book, I talk about how school shootings and, to some degree, these adult mass shootings do occur in the western United States and in the South. And I think there is a Wild West mentality, which is, if you don't like the way your life is going, you want to get revenge on people and take the law into your own hands. So, you know, so to speak, there could be something in the water.
You were one of the first reporters on the scene in Columbine, and you continue to cover the story as a staff writer for the Denver's Rocky Mountain News. From your experience, just how accurate is the information that we're getting here with less than 24 hours after the shooting occurred?
You know, who knows? Who knows? I worked on my book for 10 years, and I kept finding new stuff and, you know, going back and finding stuff that was wrong early on. So, you know, we just can't say, but it's certainly likely that information will change over time.
After the Columbine shooting, of course, there was a lot of discussion about the underlying dynamics. The issue of bullying in our schools came up, although in this case, we've got a situation that looks completely random, walks into a movie theater and just starts shooting people. Do you think there will be any kind of understanding or any kind of larger context to what occurred today?
Well, there could be. I mean, we're probably not going to conclude that this guy was bullied in school and that's why he did this. But there is an issue of, was he alienated? Did he feel like an outcast? And did he blame society for that? Just, you know, it sounds crazy, but I blame society. And did he want to take revenge on people? Even though it's random people, I doubt he knew anybody in that theater. But he wanted to avenge people for the way his life was being led.
I'm talking to Jeff Cass. He was a journalist during the 1999 Columbine shooting, was on the scene, covered the story closely, then wrote the book Columbine, A True Crime Story. He's online at jeffcassauthor.com. That's K-S-S. One thing we know about Columbine is there was a lot of planning, and it sure looks, from what we're seeing here, he walked in with a bulletproof vest. He had apparently a tear gas canister and was heavily armed. How much planning was there in Columbine, and from what we know, what does it likely reflect on what happened today?
The Columbine shooters planned their shooting for about a year. It took them to, finalize the details, acquire the guns, make their bombs, their homemade bombs. It would appear the way this guy was dressed and the guns he had, it took some time. How long? Authorities have not indicated when this planning might have started. But, you know, it certainly does not appear to be something that was done on a whim in a couple days.
When you look back at Columbine, how many hints were there that were obvious? And do you suspect we'll likely find out that there were clear indications that he might, this guy here, James Holmes, might very well be triggered this way?
Yeah, there were a lot of hints in Columbine. And, you know, a lot of those hints weren't directly speaking to school shootings. Like, if you saw some of the writings and some of the things the Columbine killers had done, you might not have concluded that they would have done a school shooting, but you could conclude they had problems and they should be addressed, and some, you know, the kids should either go to jail or a mental health program or whatever. And that is common. People who study this stuff, psychologists and police profilers, I forget the exact percentage, but it's something like 70-80% of these people will leak information about what they're going to do. There are clues out there. There are things they say. There are things they write. And they're dropping hints.
In Columbine, Klebold and Harris, they did kill themselves. In this case, Mr. Holmes did not. Apparently, he was arrested without incident. Do you think we'll get a better understanding in terms of the motive here, or some form of understanding that was simply not available there in some ways after the Columbine shooting?
Well, you know, it's a good question, because there was, even though the Columbine killers killed themselves, they left behind a lot of writings and videotapes about their intentions and what was going through their mind. You know, assuming there's going to be a trial on this, I don't know, I guess maybe he could do a plea bargain, but assuming there's going to be a trial, the defense is going to have to say something. And with that, we may get some insight into his motivation. You know, I haven't seen writings popping up on the internet connected to the suspect yet, but we may get writings, videotapes, computer searches, so that may start to give us some idea of motivation, even if he doesn't talk himself.
These kinds of shootings always do bring up the gun rights issue. Both sides argue that either gun control would have averted the shootings, or more firearms would have allowed one of those attending the movie to kill the shooter quickly. How did that debate unfold in Colorado after Columbine?
I think, as I recall, when Columbine happened, there wasn't a big debate yet in the country about arming general citizens, or, you know, could be teachers, could be students. The issue was more traditional gun control, I might say, of, you know, making it harder to get a gun versus not. So it seems to have become more now there's an issue of should regular people have guns. I can tell you that the Columbine shooters were very determined young kids, and they broke some laws, at least one law, in getting their guns, one of their guns, and I think that they were going to get the guns no matter what. And they also had bombs to keep in mind.
Tell me, what was the long-term impact? I mean, if we're looking at this incident, obviously the country is in shock. I'm sure locally everyone is stunned by what's occurred here. But as time goes on, were there changes made in Colorado, in the area, because of the killing? And do you suspect we'll see something similar happening here?
Yeah, they did pass an amendment requiring background checks on gun buyers at gun shows after Columbine.
And what about that was essentially the change. You're saying that's the one thing that came out of Columbine?
Yes.
In terms of security measures, were any instituted there in Colorado when it came to the schools? Any new procedures that weren't in place before?
Yeah, I think it may vary from school to school. And this is something that not only has occurred in Colorado, but across the country. There's things like only having one door for students to enter and exit from, locking the other doors during school hours. Immediately after Columbine, there were more monitors, which I believe were volunteer parents, monitoring the doorways, even though most of them were locked. In some cases, schools added security officers or local sheriff's deputy.
What was the larger view then, as people understood the shooting in Columbine? Because obviously people have to come to terms judging, is this person simply insane, or are there other factors here? Was the conclusion that these kids were essentially insane and were seeking some form of notoriety by doing this?
You know, I don't know if they would have been considered legally insane. I mean, you get into some pretty detailed issues there about what is considered insane. You know, we think, well, gee, if you go into your high school and you kill 13 people, you must be crazy. But under the law, that is not necessarily the case, that you are considered crazy and not responsible for your crimes. Mm-hmm. we will see about that. And if you know, we'll see what happens with this shooter in Aurora. He may not be deemed crazy. There will be, I assume, tests done, just as with the Arizona shooter. And psychologists and or psychiatrists will examine him and conclude that he is or is not fit to stand trial.
Well, certainly an incredible tragedy today. A man walking into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, opening fire on the crowd, killing a dozen, wounding 59. Jeff Kass, he's the author of the book Columbine, A True Crime Story. He is online at jeffkassauthor.com. Jeff, you live in Denver yourself. Hopefully everyone is going to begin to deal with this horrible tragedy.
Yeah, they will work through it, but, you know, it's a very sad day across the state.
When we come back, Jeff, again, thank you very much for joining us. When we come back, we are going to, we're going to talk to Kyle Malin about some state issues, but in the second half hour, I will be joined by a nationally known MSU psychiatrist who actually was involved in some of the psychological evaluations of what occurred in Columbine. He'll be joining me to talk about what the psychiatric viewpoint on this suspect might be and what we'll try to break some of that down. That is in the second half hour. Kyle Malin next from MERS Newsletter. We'll be right back.